This is Tom Fox, and I'd like to welcome you to a special five-part podcast series on compliance professionals adapting to change, industries, regulations, and beyond, where we will look down the road at key issues in 2024 and beyond for the compliance professional. In this series, I will visit with Nicholas Latham, Renee Murphy, Jessica Chichuga, Lee Chow, and Alexander Kosha. Over this series, we will consider compliant communications in regulated industries, managing conflicts of interest at the board level, the board of directors' role in compliance training and communications, navigating the current ESG landscape, and professional growth and mentorship in compliance. This series is informative, enjoyable, and I know you will get a lot out of it. First, a word about diligence. Diligence empowers leaders with a holistic view of their organization's governance, risk, compliance, audit, and ESG practices so they can make better decisions faster, no matter the challenge. Ready for purpose-driven compliance? Diligence equips leaders with the tools they need to build, monitor, and maintain a culture of open, transparent ethics and compliance. For more information or to book a demo, visit diligent.com. This part three, I visit with Jessica Chichuga on the role of the board of directors in compliance training and communications. Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox, back for another episode in our five-part series. Today, I'm thrilled to have back with me Jessica Chichuga.
Well. Oh, sorry.
And we are, of course, going to talk about training, but from a little bit different perspective on this episode. So, Jessica, but before we get started, could you remind the audience of your current role?
Sure. I am the principal instructional designer at Diligent. And I am in charge of all the content that's in our online training library.
Jessica, it's really been my pleasure this year to be able to visit with you several times around multiple training issues. And I found your insights to be really first rate and something I've thoroughly enjoyed and frankly learned a lot from. But I was wondering if we might turn our focus a little bit on this episode to the board of directors. Often a board will come to a compliance officer and say, "Teach us, tell us what we need to do to oversee you." And that stumbles many compliance professionals or CCOs because they are pretty good tactically and they understand a program, but they don't really think about how does someone oversee me. So I wanted to maybe pose the question to you, if a board came to you or a head of an audit or a compliance committee and said, "Jessica, train us on what we need to do to oversee training." How would you help them think through that? What are maybe some of the topics you would raise? And maybe even how would you guide them throughout a year on that? And I'll just open it up to you.
Awesome. So I think when you and I have spoken in the past, we've talked a lot about the collaboration, right, with all levels of the organization. And the board is just another one of those levels, right? So while they don't have as much day-to-day interaction with the rest of the organization, they're still a part of that strategy. And as far as support is concerned, I am such a big believer in tone at the top. I feel like the things that the board makes a priority, the rest of the organization will see as a priority as well. So I think the very first thing that I would say to a board is that we want to always underscore the importance of compliance, communication, and training throughout the organization and build that into our overall culture. And the board can drive some of that messaging as well. So I think that's an important place to start. And then I think from there, it's talking about, I feel like in training, and this is just a personal opinion, I feel like in training or in organizations in general, there's not a lot of communication between the board and the general employee population. And that's probably good in a lot of ways. But I think it would be amazing if boards could provide some messaging to the general population of their organizations, underscoring how they complete their training, how important it is for them, and drive that messaging into deeper into the organization. So I think that's a great place to start. As far as counseling them from there, I think we all know in the non-board space how important it is to stay compliant with regulations, with laws, things of that nature. And so I think pressing that importance to them and saying, we have to show these agencies, these regulatory agencies, and anybody else who's tracking our compliance, that we are doing what we say we're doing. And so I think I would say to them, we want to have bigger conversations about how compliant are we as an organization? Are we doing the things that we need to be doing? And then again, that messaging coming down deeper into the organization. And as far as that's concerned, maybe providing them with metrics. Like, this is how many employees we have. This is how many people have completed their training, things like that. I think the board, I never sat on a board, not yet, but I think boards need to, maybe they need a little bit more information or oversight as to what the compliance program really looks like and what we need to do to support it, because then they can support it as well. Does that make sense?
You have such great insights, but I'm going to start with what you started with, which may be the most important insight I've heard from you. It's just another group. The board of directors is a group, just like there are other groups in the company. And sometimes you tailor your training to other groups, whether it's a salesperson, whether it's an IT person, whether it's someone who's deemed at high risk, whether it's someone deemed a gatekeeper, and you can have tailored training for that. And the board is just one of those groups. Mm-hmm. Now, you may need to tailor that training for the board, but don't think of it as the all hallowed board. Think of it as just another corporate group. And then you went through in detail some of the things a board needs to hear about. But the role of oversight is, frankly, just another role. Mm-hmm. It's the role, a role that's required. Senior management has a role. Obviously, compliance, HR, training folks all have roles. That was brilliant, actually. Just a brilliant insight. So if the audit committee or compliance committee or indeed the full board wants to take a deeper dive into some metrics, you talked about those who have completed training, would it be feasible to have a board or the appropriate point person at a board want to get more information from whoever's heading training, whether that's HR, whether that's compliance, and ask them to give me additional, if not advanced metrics on effectiveness, where you might have followed up with employees in some manner to see if they've retained anything, whether you've looked at the way they've acted or not acted after the training. Could, if a board wanted to take a deep dive, and sometimes they do, what are some of the things you might counsel them to ask whoever's heading your training for?
That's a great question. So when you talked about them being another group, I just want to mention alignment, right? It's so important that what they expect and what they think aligns with what the rest of the organization is doing. And so I think that's a big piece of it there. And part of that alignment can be showing them, especially if you have a very effective training program, showing them how that training can move the needle, right? And how the things that you're doing. So I know with our board, like we have board training in our library, and it is a very watered down version of what the regular or the employee base takes, mainly because the board doesn't have the time to do the things and they don't need to know some of the nitty gritty details, but maybe showing the board or having the board ask questions like, how is that training being applied? Yes, we're sitting in front of our computer, we're training for an hour, but what are we doing after that to make sure that training is working? Are we having discussions in staff meetings? Are we hosting things as part of our town halls that reinforce some of that messaging? Like, what are we doing to reinforce that messaging once the training itself is done? And to me, that's the big needle mover in training, is what you do after the course, not so much in the course. It's both, but it's after the course as well. So I think that piece there is something that if you want to take a deeper dive, you want to say, what are we doing after the training? How are we making sure that people are hearing this message consistently?
Let me tie that, your last point there about the follow-up, to one of the other points you raised earlier, which is having the board being involved in the conversation. Could you even see, as a follow-up, having a board member, if not lead a town hall, be present at a town hall where these topics were discussed so that they could actually see and maybe even feel what the employees' concerns were? Would that be something that would be appropriate as well?
So I think that would be amazing. I think people see board of directors as just figureheads. They don't see them as people. And I think if somebody from a board of directors was willing to come to a town hall and field questions or talk about, put a message out there, back the senior leadership with that messaging, and then take some questions or even have some predetermined concerns or questions that they can be driven, not necessarily from the audience live. That would be a great way to align the board with senior management, with the rest of the employees as they cascade down. I would personally love to see that in my organization. I don't know that much about the board of directors at my company because I don't have a lot of interaction with them. And I think it would be incredible. I think it's a great idea.
Much training now is online or in some other form of media that's delivered to an employee. What questions would you advise a board to ask CCO, head of HR, head of training about the software system? Are there some questions that an oversight committee such as a board should ask, or is that too tactical in your opinion?
I never think that asking questions, I'm a big question person. If you ever talk to my husband or my family, you'll know I'm the question person. But I think asking those kind of questions is great. There are so many options for training. There's different modalities, there's different companies, there's different approaches. And depending on your organization and the size of your organization, the industry that you're in, just all of those factors, there's certain training that might work more effectively than others. So I think asking whether or not that training that you're doing is the right modality. So case in point, we can deliver some of our training through cell phones, right? And we happen to work with a particular company, the mining company, and their miners are not, they're in the mines. They can come out of the mine, they can see something on their cell phone, they can take care of that training and then go right back into the mine. That's big, right? They don't have to come into an office, sit at a computer. So that type of training works really well for that specific group of employees. And as a board, I'd be asking those questions. How are we delivering this? Is it reaching all of our employees? Are they all getting the same messaging? Is this working? Things like that. I think that's what you're asking. I think that's probably the way that they would want to gain more oversight.
Can a board ask those same series of questions if you're a multinational corporation doing business literally across the globe for the different employees literally across the globe in Asia, Pacific, Africa, Western Europe, South America, United States? Can a board ask those questions about the effectiveness of your training literally across the globe?
See, I would think they would have to. I think it would be more important than ever when you have that large of an audience to determine whether or not what you're doing is effective, right? If you're dealing with a company of 50 people, it's a lot easier to see and understand what things are happening day to day. But when you're dealing with a global audience, is the training translated in the right languages? Are people able to receive it if they don't have as much computer access as others? Things of that nature are really important. And I think they should be asking all of those questions.
Jessica, unfortunately, we are near the end of our time for this episode. But before we leave, I wanted to ask you, if our listeners wanted any more information on any of the topics we've touched on this episode around training, what might be a good place for them to go?
They can come to our Diligent website, www.diligent.com.
Well, Jessica, thank you again. I really enjoy visiting with you, and I look forward to continuing this conversation.
Same here. Thank you, Tom.
Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox. Thank you for listening to this episode of Compliance Professionals Adapting to Change, Industry, Regulations, and Beyond. Hope you'll join us again for our next episode where we take a look at navigating the current ESG landscape with Yi Chow. This special 5-part series is sponsored by Diligent, and we've linked to Diligent's website in the show notes. So for more information, check out their website, www.diligent.com. This special 5-part podcast series is a production of the Compliance Podcast Network.